If you're ready for the Word of God tonight, can I hear you say aloud, amen?
Amen.
And praise the Lord for that. And if you have your Bibles with you, would you please open it to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. In Lamentations, chapter 3, we all know that the author of that book is none other than the prophet Jeremiah. Who was known as the weeping prophet, and the name of the book tells and describes the prophet Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, and before we read God's precious holy word tonight, the prophet Jeremiah served Israel for 40 years. For 40 faithful years he preached the word of God to his people. And he was able to serve for four or five kings during his ministry. But every time he preaches the word of God, nobody listens. For 40 faithful years preaching the word of God, not a single tear that dropped into a single eye or a single person. Their hearts were just stone cold, stiff. Very hard. And despite of his 40 faithful years in preaching as a spiritual advisor, as pastor of that nation, he was rewarded by imprisonment. He was rewarded by exile. He was rewarded by rejection. And he has gone through so many things. And he cried a lot, and that's why he was called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah described here what he was going through, especially in the third chapter in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. And we'll jump to verse 14. He said, I was a derision to all of my people and their song all the day. In verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. So what is a wormwood? The wormwood is a type of a tree. If you will take the bark of it, and you will boil it in water, and you happen to try to taste it, maybe you will taste the most bitter drink that you will ever try. Even though you brush your teeth, you take a mouthwash, the bitter taste will not get away that easily. And that's how he described his bitterness, his broken heart. And in verse 16, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. As we go back to verse 18, he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We ask for your mercy. Because without your mercy, where would we be? Without your mercy and with your grace. So we ask for you tonight to guide us into your word by the help of your Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Guide us into your truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. No Christian is exempted to this verse. My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Even though you're a new, born-again Christian or believer, even you are the most matured Christian in the church or in your family, we will pass through this avenue and we will say, my strength and my hope is perished. Sometimes we did everything to solve a problem or a dilemma, but sometimes it seems getting worse. Instead of subtracting our problems, it multiplies sometimes, and sometimes it's very hard to bear. It's very unbearable. And that's what Jeremiah was going through. He was ready to throw in the towel. He was ready to say, I give up. When he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Every Sunday in the church, we all smile. We just smile to each other, shake hands with warmth and with a loving and sweet spirit. But we just don't know how many people who come in the church who are crying inside, whose hearts are broken and shattered to pieces. And sometimes when we cannot take it, sometimes we go to our pastor to confide, to tell everything, for us to receive encouragement or prayer. But sometimes we just don't know that most of the times our pastor is the most broken. That he just do not show it to us. He just do not express it to us. We all have some shares of burdens and trials and hardships and heartaches. And number one, Jeremiah's tragedy. So he was crying a lot, weeping a lot, not just from the eyes, but from his heart. He was rewarded, again, by imprisonment, exile. He was rewarded by rejection. Even his own countrymen, even his own family rejected him. And he was thrown into the cistern, into the pit, despite of his 40 faithful years of service. And sometimes we feel that too. Sometimes our labor, no matter how we do our best, no matter how we put our hearts into it, and nothing's just happening. We do not get the expected results. And sometimes at the end of the day, we got broken. We all do the best that we can, but sometimes we experience everything is not just going right. Jeremiah's tragedy. But look, maybe look here in the next verse. He said, on verse 21, or in verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance of me, and is humbled in me. In verse 21, number two, there was a turnaround, and he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, Jeremiah's turnaround, number two. It was just a one verse away from those 20 verses that made him a turnaround. From being hopeless, he became hopeful. From being helpless, from being a man of sorrows, it turned into a fountain of joy. From uttermost weakness, on verse 21, we can see a new Jeremiah with a brand new strength and courage. And he said, therefore, have I hope. So the question is, what did Jeremiah remember? He remembered the Word of God. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, let me tell you again, the Word of God is the most powerful book that you can ever read. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. My friend, my brothers and sisters in Lord, we have in our hands the most powerful book in this planet, and that is none other than the Word of God. All books can feed the mind, but only this book can feed the soul. All books in this world can feed the intellect, But only this book can change lives. My friend, the Word of God, he remembered it. If you will just read the whole book of Jeremiah, you will see in every chapter, and the Word of the Lord said unto Jeremiah, and the Lord said unto Jeremiah, and he said unto Jeremiah. Jeremiah's life was saturated by the Word of God, and that is the reason why he was able to hope again. And no matter how broken we are, let us free ourselves. Let's go back to the book, because at the back of the book, of our book, says, we win by the grace of God. We win. And he said, and Jeremiah said, my strength and my hope is perished. And then verse 21, therefore have I hope. Number two, what did he remember? What did he remember? Sometimes we just have to remember something important for us to hope again, for us to have that strength again, to have that courage once again. And on the next verse, what did he recall? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He recalled, Jeremiah recalled, God's mercies, God's compassions, and God's faithfulness. And he recalled, he remembered, and maybe he said to himself, why am I whining things that happen, that is happening to me? Why am I complaining? Well, the very truth is, I deserve hell. I deserve eternal torment, eternal punishment. But because of his mercies, I am still here. No matter what you are going through, my friend, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, God knows what you're going through. And he said in the book of Psalms, he has counted all your tears. Your tears are very precious to the Lord. And he puts them into his bottle. That's how precious you are to the Lord, that even your tears are being counted. Not a single tear that missed in God's watchful eyes. Not just a watchful eye, but loving eyes that guides us and keeps us every, not just every day, but every second, every moment in our lives. He recalled, great is thy faithfulness. When we surrendered our lives to the Lord in full-time ministry, it's a bit different in the Philippines. When we resigned to our respective jobs and responded to God's call for full-time ministry, we talked and prayed a lot, because 80% of our income will be lost, and we'll be having, and my wife is pregnant with our only son, only begotten son, and his name is Daniel. He's 20 years old now, and he's a youth pastor in our church, but God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. There are times that we usually cook in the stoves, in a gas range, but there are some times during in our ministry that the members don't know it, that we gather wood, because the we have the gas tanks. We don't have the gas pipes. We just have the gas tanks. We cannot able to buy it, so we look for wood, and then we. That's how we cook, but the members don't know it. But what is amazing is, even though we have that small rice cooker, and we have we are feeding four young people every day, not just young people, big young people. They eat, they love to eat, but they're stuffed, even though they're We have that rice cooker just this small. And because we believe that where God guides, He provides. Where God ordains, He sustains. In our poverty, with God's grace, we are rich. In our weakness, but because of His grace, we become strong in Him. No matter how helpless and hopeless we are, we may be hopeless, but a real Christian will never be hopeless because we have our eternal hope, and that is in God alone. My friend, in this life, we only deserve one thing. That is hell. That's the only thing that we deserve in this life. But we praise God. We cannot reach Him, but He reached us. We are unlovable. We are just unworthy. But God loved us anyway. Some say that you just receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and then you got saved. That's very easy. No. It was Christ who did the hardest part. He purchased us with the highest price. Not of the riches of this world. Not wealth. Not gold or silver. But His very life. That made salvation free. That made our forgiveness. That made our sin debt paid in full. And we praise God for all His mercies and all His kindness. There are many times that my wife and I just cried, and the only witness is just the small room that we have. And we cried till sometimes we experienced that moment. We cried all night till we fall asleep. But what is amazing is there was an instance that when we woke up as if nothing happened. Full of tears in the night. And God is really true in His promise. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. So, we just praise God for His mercies, for His great faithfulness. Did He give up? No. He continued. And that's why on my third outline, from Jeremiah's tragedy to Jeremiah's turnaround, Jeremiah's triumph. We are born not to lose in this fight, in this race. We are designed to win because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Because Jesus Christ, we are on the side that is a winner. All wins, no loss. Because on our side is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May I end to you one song before, because I don't know if I can be able to go back again to the United States. It might be my last. I don't know what God's will is. But let me leave you a song that we have a Filipino champion, a boxing champion. He is the only 8 world division champion in the world. But this song will introduce a champion more than him. If we gather all the champions in this world, nothing can still compare the champion that is in our hearts. His records are all win, no loss. And as the announcer announces the credentials or the statistics of the athletes or the boxers, this champion that we introduce, his height exceeds the heavens. His weight outweighs the world. And his reach reaches everywhere because he is the undisputed, undefeated champion of love. And he is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you, in this corner of the good and the right, stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens, his weight outweighs the world, his reach reaches everywhere, his age is evermore, and he is higher than the highest, greater than a great. No one will ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He left his hometown to enter this arena, to raise his hand in victory for all of you and me. But an angry crowd they crucified, this king who wore their crown, and they gladly watched the champion going down. But I will never count him out, for I am a witness of the day he arose to retain the title, the champion of love. And he is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion. All-time undisputed, undefeated champion. All-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love, of love.
God bless you, church. Our love and prayers are always with you. And Pastor Vanoy, thank you so much. And may God bless you and your family always. And you all beyond measure. God bless you.